inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Using a mortgage to buy a rental property is a great way to build wealth, but when you borrow money, there's always some risk. There's always the chance that something could go wrong, that maybe you have a big repair and you don't have enough rent money to cover the repair, or maybe you have an extended period of vacancy and you've got to use your own money to make the mortgage payment. There's always a chance that something could go wrong. Well, my guest on the podcast today has eliminated that risk. He's never borrowed money to buy a rental property. He's only used cash. So on the show today, we're going to hear about his business. We're going to talk about how he saved the money to get started, and we'll go over his numbers and figure out how everything works. So let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back, and we'll talk to John from Southeast Connecticut. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. When I'm doing research to buy a new rental property, there's a lot of different websites, apps, and then a spreadsheet that I use to do my analysis. It's really kind of a convoluted process. Well, there's a much easier way. There's an app called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. Ask Rick makes it really easy to find and analyze rental properties. You can see all the properties for sale in an area. If something looks good, you can press one button. It'll analyze the property for you. It'll figure out the rent amount. It'll figure out your mortgage payment, all your expenses, and give you your cash flow. If you're ready to move forward, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send the information over to your realtor to do some more investigation into the property. You can try it out for free right now. Just search for Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, Ask Rick in the App Store, or go to justaskrick.com. That's justaskrick.com. You are 100% debt-free with your rentals, and I love that. I think that's a great strategy. How did this happen? Like, are you just averse to debt? Are you like a Dave Ramsey follower, or how did this come about?
I'm not a Dave Ramsey follower myself, although I do subscribe to his method of avoiding debt for someone that may have a difficult time, you know, handling debt, or just doesn't do as good a job as they'd like in terms of having a credit card or purchasing things beyond their means. So Dave Ramsey's pretty much like, if you're going to quit drinking, you're not drinking on the weekends. You're quitting drinking completely. So I think that's what he preaches, and he has a regular audience. I'm okay with debt, but I really like it to be calculated. In other words, what I want to do is I want to sit down, I want to go over the numbers, and I want to say, okay, I'm going to make a purchase of this building or this property or whatever it is that I'm involved in. And I kind of look at what is the worst case scenario. How bad could I go down in flames? And I want to avoid the things that are going to take me entirely down. I hope that answer makes some sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you've been investing in real estate for a long time. Did you have debt when you were getting started, or have you always been a cash owner?
I've always been a cash owner.
Okay, awesome. Now, How did you save the cash? That's always like the idea of owning rentals with cash sounds awesome, but like, how did you put that money aside?
Well, I had decided, I have a business that's 91 years old. Okay. So I have a full-time job, and I really the company is 91 years old. I'm not 91,
right.
But it's been in the family since 1929. It's great. And I really put my energy into that. Okay. And since I'm a saver, I'm the guy that doesn't want to necessarily go out and buy the new car. I'll buy the used car. I'll live below my means. I like saving money. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because when you work hard at something, and you, let's just say you happen to be, you're doing okay with your job, you can save that money to the side. That gave me a lot of leverage when I wanted to go buy that apartment house that was for sale. And I said, and I'm talking like, I think the first apartment house I bought was like $51,000, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'd say for a number of years, doesn't take a long time. You know, if you save $5,000 a year and you save for 10 years, you got the money.
Right.
And you go up and the guy's for sale and you say, how about if I give you $50,000 now, like tomorrow? And he's like, you don't have to go to the bank, get a mortgage. I was like, no, how about if I just give you 50 right now for the place you're asking 80 for? Of course, you're going to get shut down a lot of times, but all you need is one guy to say yes.
Right, right.
And so that's how that started. Right.
Okay.
So then, okay, I bought that thing under market through paint a coat, some paint on it, rented it out, and sold that property 2 years later for $150,000. Now I had $150,000, you know, sitting there to use for my next, you know, thing I was going to buy, which I believe at that time was another commercial building.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it my first commercial building? And I bought a first commercial building for $150,000 or $120,000. I forget because I'm going back into the 80s here. So that's sort of
okay,
without giving
so,
the whole war story of what I did.
So it's kind of a simple thing when you think about it. So you had a job, and in your case, you owned a business. But for anyone else that doesn't own a business, you can have a regular job and you can put money aside. You put that money aside, you bought a property, that property increased in value, you took that money, and then you just rolled it over to buy something else.
Yeah.
Now, when
I saved that initial amount, and I didn't build, you know, I didn't do the, let me get an equity loan off that property and go get another one. That just wasn't my style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just not what I wanted to do.
Risk that you didn't want to take on that extra risk?
Well, you know, actually, when I was thinking about it, and please don't misunderstand these words here, but when someone says, I want to retire and just be in the real estate business, you're just saying to me you want to switch jobs because, you know, real estate is a job. Yes, you could amass enough real estate that maybe you're not going to have to put in an insane amount of time if you can have good cash flow out of it. And so at that time, I thought, well, geez, where can my skills be best monetized? And my skills could be best monetized at work, whatever you do. You could be a dentist, a doctor, an engineer. I happen to be in retail. I'm an importer and exporter. And I just thought, wow, I think I'll spend more time doing this. When I have some money left over, then I'll buy some property. It'll be paid for. I'll get, you know, your money in the bank gets you nothing.
Right.
You know what you get now? Like, what do you get, like 0.07%? So I was thinking like, geez, you know, if I can put $100,000 into that building and get 12% a year, you know, out of the building, that's way better than money in the bank.
Absolutely.
You know, so I sort of looked at those things as, and that's the way I did it. That, you know, that's the way I built up the stuff, and it's worked so far.
Now, a lot of real estate investors love debt, and you know, leverage is really powerful. I mean, you can really create a lot of wealth with leverage. Do you ever get a hard time from people that saying, you know, you could have twice as many properties or three times as many properties if you took out loans? Do people ever say to you, you're doing things wrong?
I don't know that anyone's ever asked me, but I'm sure they're thinking about that. I mean, your listeners right now would be thinking about that. They'd be disagreeing with me. They're pounding their iPod or their iPhone right now.
You know, it's funny. We have probably half the listeners are very upset with you right now.
Yes,
the other half love you. So
they're going to hunt me down. But with the real estate, quite honestly, I just didn't feel like going through. I had the money. I was able to do it. I didn't feel like going to the bank and going through that whole rigmarole of borrowing the money because I didn't need to. But if you need to and you do it right, I think it's a great way of building wealth for yourself. I really do.
Let's talk about some of the positives to not having a mortgage. And the first thing that comes to mind is when you have a vacancy and you have a mortgage on the property, there's always a pressure there that you want to get somebody in. You want to hold out for a good tenant, but you can't let that place sit for too long. Is not having a mortgage, do you feel any pressure at all to ever take a tenant that's maybe marginal?
Well, the only pressure that I think you'd have is if you are using that money for, let's say, to support another aspect of your life. So you're saying, oh, geez, you know, my positive cash flow out of this property is, you know, whatever, $20,000 a year or $25,000 a year, but you're using that to fund one of the kids' college education. So you will have pressure. Being debt-free on the property doesn't necessarily give the opportunity to have a sound sleep if you're supplementing. And obviously that makes sense to all of your listeners and to everybody.
Yep.
In my particular situation, I'm not living off of this debt-free property, just in my situation. So that gives you the opportunity because I think the bigger question is, does this give you the liberty to be more selective in your tenant? And it really does. You say when the person's sketchy or you're just not getting a good vibe or they're evasive, you know, about some of the questions and you may not want to do a background check because after a while, if you've been doing this for a long enough time, you're not running a background check on everybody. You're not. You're asking questions. And you're putting two and two together on how they answer. And if it doesn't add up, I can say, hey, you know what? Thank you so much for the application. We'll get back to you. You know, we'll let you know because we're going to make a decision next week. And you've already made your decision right then. There's no way you're going to have that. You just don't want that as a tenant.
Tell me about this property where you have a combination of retail and also apartments. So what I'm picturing is like retail on the first floor and then apartments upstairs.
Yes, exactly. It was a department store that was owned by a family that had owned it forever and a day, maybe 50 or 80 years. They rented it out to the state of Connecticut for sort of legal services building. And it quickly came on the market, and I saw the for sale sign in the window, and I was a little tiny sale sign that was like 12 inches by whatever, 12 inches. And I called, and the guy had literally just stuck it in the window. He told me, look, this is what the property, it's actually getting given away. They're going to give the property away. They're going to give it to a college. And the guy's going to get a big tax write-off. I just did some quick math, figured out his tax advantage, what he was going to get from giving the building away. And I said, how about if I give you $250 cash? And he went, that'll work. And so I bought the building for $250 cash.
It sounds like that building probably needed some work. So after you spent the money to rehab it, how much were you all in on the building?
Probably like $500 into the building.
$500 all in. Okay. Awesome. And let's talk some rent. So you've got two parts to the building. You've got the residential part and then the commercial part. How much do the combined rents come to every month for the residential part?
Well, so the math for the current four units that are up there right now and are $3,400 combined for the four.
Okay.
And if we finish the fifth and decide to end up doing that, it's going to bring it up to about $4,600, maybe $4,700. Okay. The ground level, the business on the 10,000 square feet, is $5,000 a month. So that's $60,000 a year from there. So it's $5,000. The lowest level, which is rented out to a moving and storage business, is paying about $2,800 a month. And then you have to think about the taxes and the insurance, which come on. So taxes are roughly, $26,000 a year. Let's call, insurance, I don't know, with everything, because you have liability of the $8,000. And a lot of people could retire in life. They could just reverse mortgage their home and stuff. But if you're entrepreneurial like yourself, Dan, you're entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
You're never going to retire. Retirement plan is a funeral home.
right. So what do you do with that cash? So you have a really good amount of money coming in every month. It doesn't sound like you're aggressively looking for more properties. So what do you do with all that money? Does it just pile up?
I paid for my home. I just paid cash for my house. So I paid that off, and then that went up in value, and then I bought the next house and paid cash for that, and then the next house. So I was able to take the money I thought, that was coming in. I wasn't going out and buying, 30-foot boats and, staying at the Ritz. I was fine with the Holiday Inn Express and a used car.
Right.
And going to the grocery store and looking, eating well, but, not. I look at the price of everything. And so then I would take that money that I've saved from my business or cash flowing in from that. And I'd say, I'm not paying a mortgage. I'm not going to pay 30 years for my home. And let's say if your $300,000 home really ends up costing you $500,000. That's not, I just paid everything off. Here again, this is what works for me. It's not for everybody, but it what's working in my lifestyle and allows me to have a good night's sleep.
Right. You like to buy rentals in A-class neighborhoods, and a lot of investors find that they make a lot more money buying properties in B and C-class neighborhoods. Now, you're making a really good profit because you don't have any debt. But do you feel like you could make even more money if you bought rental properties in either B or C neighborhoods?
You're 100% right. I believe you can get a greater cash flow. What had happened is I had purchased in the C-class neighborhood initially in the beginning. And it's just, I had a difficult time relating with to the tenants. We didn't see eye to eye. And as a result of that, it was stressful. And I decided that I was going to buy in neighborhoods that I'd like to live or I'd feel comfortable living, and that works for me.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Now, do you find that your tenants are very easy to manage?
Well, if we're below market, so what we've done here again, since we're not looking to squeeze every single penny out of the property, we're about 8% below on our rents for each unit. Okay, one of them, we're 10% below. That really, really allows us to be very, very choosy about who we're going to have. And since it's in a property, they are attorneys, engineers, military, I've had physicians. These are people that have a lot to lose in the community, right? If you're a JAG and you stiff me on the rent or there's an issue, that's not going to go over real good with the commander on the
base. Right, that's true.
Or a physician or anybody. They have a lot to lose in the community. If you get a tenant that has nothing to lose, that's the most dangerous person in the world.
Right, that's true.
That's not the tenant I want to have.
Now, with the first level, with having the retail businesses, does it ever make you nervous that the world's kind of changing right now and things are going online more, and local retail, I feel, in a long period of time may not exist anymore. Does it ever make you nervous that maybe those businesses will not be there in the future, or you'll have a tougher time renting out the retail?
Absolutely. Anyone that owns any retail space, has to have that be a big concern now. So you're going to repurpose the property as what? Maybe if you're lucky, it could be a walk-in clinic. Maybe it could be a new version of retail, which would be a Dollar General, something along those lines. The hopes of any of a restaurant moving in would be very unlikely, or somebody's going to be selling apparel out of that. Not at all. Because, Dan, all the rules that you and I have used, or anyone has used that's been in the real estate business, let's say for a while, or owns any property, those right now have to kind of go out the window, so to speak, up to a point, because we're in a completely new environment as we make our way into this large wave of, there's going to be a lot of unemployed people.
Yep. So what about like right now, like with the coronavirus stuff going on, have your retail businesses had any trouble? Like, are they, like, did they have to close down? Or are they like still paying rent right now?
Well, they both were, had to close, but one is an online business, was fine. The other one was the moving storage. But they got PPP, which allows them to, you know, pay their rent and pay their employees. So, I mean, there's pretty, that's a pretty generous program, which, you know, here again, somebody that wouldn't know what PPP even is, but in other words, it gives paycheck protection to the employees of a business and pays their rent and utilities. So the landlord, which happens to be me, is getting paid. That's fine.
John, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story with us. I really appreciate it. If John inspired you and you want to own rental properties free and clear, there's a couple of different ways you can do it. The way John did it definitely works. He's living proof of that. Another way to do it is to take out mortgages and get those mortgages paid off as fast as you can. If you want to hear from an investor that did that, check out episode 106. Our guest on that show has a really unique formula on how he bought rental properties and then worked on getting those properties paid off in a pretty short period of time. Speaking of mortgages, I'd like to thank our sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chailey Ridge. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can help find something that's unique to you in your exact situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chailey, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday, and if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.